Play it again, exactly. We'd much rather see that again than listen to Pastor Morgan ramble on. I hear you. I know how it is. I hope even as you saw that video, and you can't help it, right? I've seen it a couple times now, and it still grabs you. That the intensity of longing and love, the intensity of longing and love that's seen in the face of these people who have been separated from one another. And every time I see one of these things, I'm always struck by the two conflicting feelings, right? On the one hand, this is so beautiful, and it's such an amazing moment, and I feel so privileged to get to bear witness to it. And on the other hand, this is not how it's supposed to be. This is not how it's supposed to be. This, you know, Sergeant Sarpu shouldn't have to be separated from his family. He shouldn't miss out on his daughter's birth because of war. They should not have, you know, this young mom should not have had to gone through really hard things caring for her daughter and being in the hospital in illness without her husband beside her. This is not how it's supposed to be. And it's love. It's this intense love that is going to pull them back together again. And I believe that this story has so much in common with what we should be understanding about the nature of God's love as revealed in the Nativity. And as I mentioned at the beginning, there's kind of three parts to this that I think are relevant to us. One is it takes a lot of planning. Second, it takes a lot of people involved, right? And third, that it is all about that union, that moment, that hug, when at last the people those who've been separated, the lover and the beloved have been separated, are now reunited. Our first reading was from the prophet Isaiah, 500 years before the coming of the person Jesus, who would be the fullness of Christ, the incarnation. 500 years earlier, God is communicating to a people in the midst of despair, in the midst of loneliness. There's going to be this moment. There's going to be this sign. There's going to be this clear indication that I have not forgotten you, that I love you, that I am with you, and that we're going to be together again. It says in the same way that Cassie kept photographs and had videos of her husband to remind their daughter that she has a father and that father loves her. So Isaiah is given the task of reminding the people of God that God's love has not ended. He has not abandoned them. This is not the end. This is not the end of the story. There's going to be a reunion. There's a whole lot of planning that is required to bring this moment about. In Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says that in the right time, at the right time, Jesus came into the world. At the right time, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit concluded this was the right moment in which the Son should enter into the world. The right time. And we think to ourselves, how did that make it the right time? Why was 2,000 years ago the right time? What does it make sense of that? That's the mystery that we'll never fully understand. And yet, we do have a sense, don't we, that this, all the planning that would happen over from the moment of creation until Jesus would come into the world, that was and is for us the right time. There was all sorts of people in on this little conspiracy, weren't there? The family had to get involved. The Good Morning America had to work it out with the Sergeant Sarpu's superiors. They had to do all sorts of things. And every time we celebrate Advent, we recognize that this time, these four Sundays, really are an invitation to us to remember how much God planned for, how much God prepared, how God brought all things together for this moment into which Jesus would come into the world and the fullness of God would dwell in a human person. It took a lot of planning, and that planning is a profound expression of God's love. Amen? Now, there were a lot of people involved. Every time I watch one of these things, I think, not only was this, it's a nice story, right? If we read about this story, if we read about the Sarpu family, we'd think, oh, that's really cute. But Good Morning America didn't go to all this trouble just so that the Sarpus could all get back together again. They wanted not just that studio audience, not just the immediate family. They wanted millions and millions of people to get to see this and experience it. Why? Come on. Ratings. Right? They wanted ratings. They wanted millions of people to watch this, feel good about it, and ratings. GMA knew that having this story was going to make them just a little bit more famous. Now, on the one hand, we know God doesn't need fame, but every time we talk about the word glory, when the angels come and say, glory to God in the highest, what is glory but this, the purest, most wonderful expression of fame? We're going to make God famous by proclaiming to you that this day, on this day, a child has been born unto you. God didn't want just Mary and Joseph to experience this moment, as special as it was. It wasn't just for Bethlehem. It just wasn't just for the shepherds. It wasn't just for the shepherds and the angels. It wasn't just for the shepherds and the angels and the wise people. There might have been a woman involved, by the way, and there were probably more than three for free. It wasn't just for Israel. What Paul will say to the Romans, right at the beginning of this amazing letter to the Roman church, he begins by saying, this moment happened for, what he says, the Gentiles, which is in essence to say, everybody. This whole thing was set up so that everybody, all of humanity, all nations, all peoples would know and be able to celebrate it and be able to experience it, and that God would become more famous. This God who revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ would become more famous. And that this king born in obscurity, would be known by everyone. A lot of people. This singular moment is intended to involve a whole lot of people. In fact, everybody. Took a lot of planning. It's intended to involve a whole lot of people. And it's all about the hug. It's all about that embrace at the end. It's all about that moment when we would experience once and for all and finally and forever what it is like to have God express the perfection of God's love by becoming one with us. We see the Sarpu family for the first time be a family, and it fills us with joy. We sense and experience at Christmas this union, this claim that God makes upon each and every one of us and all of us together that says, you are mine and I am yours, and we are going to be together now forever. And nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us ever again. My love for you is that permanent. I have been planning. I have been preparing. I have been loving you from a distance. And now I am coming close. This is what it means to celebrate Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. God, not far off some other corner of the universe, not some distant abstract idea, but the personal, intimate love of a father holding his baby daughter for the first time, of people long separated being once and for all reunited. This is Emmanuel. This is what we've been waiting for. This is our time to receive him again. Now, maybe this is the word you need for yourself today. Maybe you need to be reminded that there is an ultimate reunion, and that each time we celebrate Christmas, it is that reunion for which we long and that reunion that we will all fully experience. But maybe, as I'm sharing this with you this morning, you're mindful that there's somebody in your life who feels so disconnected, so distant, so broke down, so lost, struggling, just like Cassie was struggling to be a single mom, to take care of this baby. Somebody who's struggling, and it's your privilege this Christmas to be part of God's preparation. It's your privilege this Christmas to be one of the many people who helps pull off this big reunion. It's your purpose this Christmas to come close to that person and to hug them and to hold them close and to remind them that God is with us. Maybe it's your job, your gift to give this Christmas. As we pray together, as Karen leads us, let that be part of your thinking and your reflecting. God, who in my life needs to know that there's a reunion coming? Thanks, Karen, for leading us in prayer.
Let us pray. Lord God of love, we have truly succumbed to the greased slide into Christmas. We have cluttered our lives with schedules so busy we barely have time to breathe. We plan, prepare, cook, clean, party, and yet wind up exhausted and wondering what in the world happened to the joyous Christmas that we had so long ago. In this place, on this day, you have called us together to hear your words of encouragement and to remind us that you are with us. We do not need to rush about in order to have Christmas, for the witness of your love is here among us right now. Open our hearts and help us proclaim your presence. Help us reach out to one another in joy and peace. As we have brought our concerns to you in prayer, remind us again that you hold each and every one of us gently and lovingly in your constant care. For we thank you for your love and ask these things in the name of the one whom you sent to heal and free us, Jesus. Amen.
Now, and receive our benediction for the morning. I hid it someplace really safe. Oh, there it is. In my sermon, I explained that this intention, this moment of Emmanuel, was something that God had in mind since the beginning of creation, that the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, had come together and determined this. And so I want to give you a Trinitarian benediction this morning. The Trinity restores you. They make their face to shine all around you so that you are saved. The Father loves you. He makes his face to shine down on you so that you are saved. The Son graces you. He makes his face to shine right beside you so that you are saved. The Spirit lives in you. He makes his face to shine inside you so that you are saved. The Trinity empowers you. They make their face to shine through you so that others are saved. And in so doing, friends, we live the message of Emmanuel. Go now with that message in peace. Amen.